In the 19th century, there was a man, his name was George Mueller. We're going to see that slide of his picture. And he was a Christian evangelist and director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. He cared for 10,024 orphans during his lifetime. And he established 117 schools, Christian schools, to serve more than 120,000 kids. As impressive as this sounds, George Mueller's aim of his life wasn't this that I just mentioned. But he wanted to glorify God, and we know that by his biography. And what happened is that George Mueller, we're going to see some of the other pictures, that is some of the beginnings of the group of girls, and then the next one is the group of boys who were separated. And when he became to Christ as a believer, he was praying that God will help him to show society that lacked faith God's glory, a real and truthful God. So he prayed. God opened his eyes, and he was able to see many orphans in England. And this German man started the ministry to the orphans with the aim to show God's glory. George Mueller gave his life and all of his resources so that people will see through the service to the orphans God's glory. And to this day, we can see George Mueller's life and say, praise God for what he did and for all he gave to this ministry. We're going to see the next slide. The title of this sermon is Giving by God's Grace and for His Glory. But abundant giving by God's grace and for His glory. Now, this next slide is going to show you the flow of the idea of this text. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15, you'll also probably have a copy over there in your seats, is showing us what happens in the Christian giving. This Christian giving starts with God's grace, because He's the one who gives all things. After that, we as Christians receive from God what He has given to us, and then we give them to others. We don't keep what God has given us to us by grace, but we give to others, and that produces, according to the text, abundance. We give generously, and that produces abundance. We'll talk about that abundance. What is that? And ultimately, that giving produces the aim of all things that started with God's grace, God's glory. God is glorified by that abundant giving that starts with God's grace. So that is the idea of the whole text. Let's see the next slide. That's what we're going to do tonight. The main idea of this text is that biblical giving, the one described by Apostle Paul in these verses, produces abundance by God's grace and for His glory, for God's glory. That is the idea. What we want to learn today is that biblical giving produces abundance by God's grace. It starts with God's grace, and the aim is His glory. And I want to describe that through three hangers that will help us to walk through the text. The first one is that the biblical giving is generous and is joyful. This is describing the characteristics. So we can identify that biblical giving. How do Christians give? Well, they are generous and they are joyful. The second one is that this Christian giving is genuine. It's not fake. It's not just giving, but it's genuine. And these two things serve to the final goal in the point number three, which is it's a Christian giving or biblical giving is God glorifying. The first two things help to accomplish the goal, which is God's glory. So let's go through those three things. First, biblical giving is generous and joyful. Verse 6 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Biblical giving must be generous. This is according to each person's capacity or means. Defining what generous is important so that we can understand what Paul means by this. What this means is that the amount of money that defines a generous offering for one person is different than that amount of money that defines the generous giving of another person. Like when Jesus was watching the people put money on the offering box. Many rich people put large sums of money. And a poor widow came and put into two small copper coins. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. So Jesus was saying that this woman, this widow woman who gave less money, was more generous than the rich people who actually gave more money. Defining generosity is not defined by the amount of money that we give, but it's different for each person. We can't define an amount. The Lord knows as you speak to Him. Being generous is an act of faith. The reason why I say that is because Apostle Paul is using the agriculture metaphor. Isn't the person who plants the seed also having faith that that seed will give fruit later? Given in the kingdom of God is according to faith. It's like spreading the seeds on the soil and expecting fruit from it. So Christians who give sparingly will reap sparingly. And Christians who give bountifully in abundance will reap bountifully. Now, it is reasonable that the Corinthians want to have a great harvest. Therefore, what Apostle Paul is doing is saying, hey, Corinthians, give generously. Paul is encouraging them to believe that if they give generously, they will reap a great harvest. And greater than that they sowed. Now, College Church, let us believe and not be afraid of losing what we give for the kingdom of God. For we will receive a greater reward than that what we give. The principle is very simple over here. You will receive a greater reward than what you give. Now, this is not prosperity gospel. This text is not encouraging us to invest in the stock market of church so that we can increase the numbers in our bank account. No, that is not. But the return is a promise to have all our needs covered. And this word is key. To be content with what the Lord provides by His grace. And then ultimately, the abundance is that God will be glorified. Now, this is expanded by What is the motivation of Christians of giving generously? Because when God is glorified by our generous giving, we receive joy. Verse 7 says, besides being generous, we must be joyful when we give. Verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The city of Corinth received the nickname of Wealthy Corinth because it was a city that was the center of commerce. Land trading, much of marine trading went through Corinth. They were a wealthy city. And there we can think that the church of Corinth was also wealthy. At least most of the people who went to the church, they were wealthy. And so the Corinthians reading this letter from Apostle Paul could easily fulfill the financial responsibility that they had acquired with Apostle Paul by saying, okay, here's the money, without having much thought about it. So that Paul doesn't keep bothering us with his letters. Here is the money. We're generous. Here you go, Paul. But the exhortation of Apostle Paul is, besides being generous, you must be joyful when you give. Yeah, generosity can be somehow measured by the amount of resources that are given, but joyfulness, even though it can be faked, it is internal. I remember giving money because of social pressure. I don't know if you have experienced that. I was in my classroom in college many years ago. I was studying civil engineering then. And a student came to the classroom. I was known to be a Christian in the classroom. So actually, the professor used to mock me. I don't know if he was good about it or he was actually mocking me. He called me the brother, the hermano in Spanish. The hermano. He didn't call me by my name, but he called me the hermano, the brother. And this person came to the classroom asking for money for a construction project for a church. Now, I didn't know anything about the church. I didn't know anything about this person. I didn't know if it was a biblical church or not. But he just presented in 10 seconds, would you like to support this project? And then my professor said, well, ask the hermano, he is a Christian, ask the brother. And I felt so pressured, and it was so, like, all eyes were on me, and I had to present a testimony and give so that they can see that I'm actually a believer, so that I gave money. Then I reflected on that, and I thought that was not right. In fact, the professor, a few days later, he apologized for putting pressure on me. And this can happen often. Joy is critical. It is a critical disposition of the heart to give our money in a biblical way according to the way Paul is describing for the Corinthians. Because we can give generously only for the external pressures of others or by internal pressures of guilt. Even if we give generously but we don't give joyfully, the offering then wouldn't be biblical. Because it doesn't come with joy, and it's an offering that will not please God, and it will not give glory to God. If we give generously without joy, it will not be an acceptable offering before God, since the disposition of the heart is not according to what God wants, what God loves. The text says, God loves the cheerful giver. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. So there is a thoughtful and prayerful attitude before giving. That joy has a source, which is a thoughtful process, a prayerful process. There is an examination of the amount that we are going to give. It is not too little, so that we will feel guilty because it's not enough for contributing according to the means that God has provided for us. It is not too much so that we will lack for the needs of our responsibilities, the responsibilities that we have. And, you know, we are in a different era of giving. Now we have online giving. And that is also a challenge for me in this thoughtful process of thinking about giving. I don't know how many of you give online or use an envelope, but this is an automatic giving once a month. I put the amount and just goes through. It is helpful because I will not forget about giving. And it is challenging because I might be giving as an automatic act without thinking about the amount. But so the challenge for me and for you is when we give, if you receive an email as a reminder that you gave that amount, take a minute and pray. Say, Lord, here is my offering to you, my generous and joyful offering for your kingdom so that you will be glorified. Thank you for letting me be part of your kingdom and of the ones who give. Now, if you give with an envelope, the challenge is the same one. You could just go with the tradition of doing it, but take a moment and pray. And it will be a moment to assess, is this the right amount? Or can I give a little bit more? And so that this offering that I'm giving can be defined as generous and joyful. But it's prayerful. Now, this application goes directly, obviously, to the financial means. But we can also talk about all the resources that God has provided for us, like your talents, your gifts, spiritual gifts, and all the resources that you have. Your time, of course. We can meditate and pray and think about what we are giving to the Lord. What are we giving to the Lord? What is the time that we give to Him? Although we could think also, of course, all of my time is for the Lord. All of my resources are for the Lord. Well, then let's pray and think about that. Is that true? So first, biblical giving is generous and joyful. We see in verses 6 and 7. Verses 8 to 11, we see number 2. Biblical giving is genuine. Let me explain this. It might seem obvious, but biblical giving is to give, not to accumulate. Because giving is to give, not to accumulate. This seems very obvious. But we give not with the motivation that God will give us in return something back for what we are giving. But we give thinking that this goes to the Lord, is genuine from the heart. Paul's encouragement seems to promise abundance after we give. In verses 8 to 11, shows us that the biblical principle is that we will give, the offering will be received, and we will be enriched in every way to continue to give more. The cycle of giving is that we receive from God, as we saw in that illustration. We give, people receive, we receive more, and then we continue to give, and God is glorified. Verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever." Biblical giving starts with God's grace and proceeds to move to us so that we can give for the needs of the church and to the poor, and then God is glorified. God's grace, according to this text, made the Corinthians, or will make the Corinthians, have all sufficiency. All sufficiency. That's one thing. The second one is what abounds over here. I'll talk about sufficiency, but what abounds here is according to Paul, not the resources, not that there's a lot of resources, but what abounds is God's grace. Sufficiency comes from God's grace. Sufficiency is defined as an amount of something that is enough. That's sufficiency. An amount, in this case of money or resources, that is enough. Enough. Corinthians, you will have all sufficiency. You will have enough. Now, let me talk about two kinds of people here. One question, two groups of people. The question is, how much is enough so that we can give? How much do we need to receive as to define it as enough so that we can give generously and joyfully and genuinely? Okay, the first group of people, they can understand that God has provided for them with contentment in this, and they say, enough is what I have, what God has provided for me. I am content, therefore I will give. That's the first group of people. The second group of people, they say, a little bit more. Not content. The second group of people are people who love money. How much is enough so that we can give? This group of people say, a little bit more. Now, I was teaching to the high schoolers in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I found something that I want to share with you. Five reasons why love of money will never satisfy you. I want to share this with you. Five reasons why love for money will not satisfy you. Number one, it does not bring fulfillment. It will never fill you up. Doesn't matter how much you have. Number two, wealth increases costs. The more you have, the more you want to accumulate, the more you have to spend to sustain that money. Number three, you'll be worried. You will lack sleep. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. Number four, wealth is unstable. What you have today, you work so hard for it, and then you might lose it all. Tomorrow you have nothing. And number five, you die, you lose it all. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 5, if you want to look it up later. But the one who loves God has enough, is content, and he gives genuinely because he does not love money. He loves God. Now, the Corinthians may have, according to the background I share with you, a good financial stand. They have money. But the key here is not how much money the Corinthians have or how much do they give. It is rather that they are content with God, what God has provided in his abundant grace. Now, there's a quote over there from Psalm 112, and it says, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. That refers to the person who gives genuinely and generously and joyfully. That person gives in that way. He's describing that person in Psalm 112. Now, with Psalm 112, the first characteristic of this person who gives, this righteous person who gives this way, is that he fears God. And this is a model that Apostle Paul is providing to the Corinthians from a righteous man who fears the Lord. And so he's content with what he has. Doesn't matter if he's rich, he's poor. Doesn't matter how much he has. He is content with what the Lord is providing. He recognizes that whatever he has, the Lord has provided for him. Are we content? If we are content, we're ready to give a genuine offering to the Lord. We should give to provide for the needs of our church, not so that the Lord will give us more money in return for our offering, but because we are content with what the Lord has provided in his abundant grace. As we are giving, let us pray. giving thanks, because we give from what we receive from our graceful God. Verse 10 says, "He who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." God provides according to his will to accomplish his purpose. Apostle Paul is quoting Isaiah, who speaks of bringing the rain so that the rain produces fruit and feeds the one who is hungry, and the one who plants has seed to plant. In the same way, he says, "The Lord, I will send my word and it will return to me and it will accomplish what I want." God's purpose. So really, when we're giving, what we are doing is following God's will so God will accomplish his purposes. Verse 9 says, to follow up on this idea, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way." Again, 9. "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way." Being enriched in every way refers to abundance of financial resources, having enough financial resources, but also the grace to give what we have. Not just having something to give, but the grace, like the widow woman, she had give everything because she had the grace to give. I imagine that you may have a budget, or at least in your mind, if you don't have it written down, try to follow that. That is healthy to do. And you probably had set apart an amount that you give regularly to give to the Lord through the church or other Christian ministries. If some of you do that and apport to something that you believe is serving to the kingdom of God, or personal offerings to those who you see are in need. Now, what happens if the Lord, we have that regular amount of money that we give, and then the Lord blesses us with something else, an additional income that we didn't expect, because the Lord has enriched us with that amount of money? What's more important that is that we will have the grace of the Lord to take from that and also give more, because the Lord blesses more. We're able not to accumulate more, but to give more. Nobody but God and you knows what the budget looks like. So it comes from a genuine heart with the desire to give for God's glory. The end of verse 9 will help us to transition to our third point that says, "Which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." That is the outcome. Point 3. Biblical giving is God glorifying. Ultimately, what we're seeking is God's glory. Because ends in this text with a Christian community. We'll see that through the verses 12 to 15. A whole Christian community praising God, thanking God, exalting him, saying, "Thank you, God, for what you have given to us." Both the one who gives the offering glorifies God because he was able to receive and give, and the one who receives the offering, probably that church in Jerusalem that was going through a famine, receives the offering from the church and says, "Praise God." Not praise the church in Corinth and Macedonia and other churches, but praise God that through my brothers and sisters, we received a blessing. God is glorified. Verse 12 says, "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God." Overflowing. So the overflow is not an overflow of money. It's not that the budget has more numbers. The overflow is thanksgiving to God. That is the richness, the glory of the Lord. That is our joy. We give so that God will be glorified, that we will recognize that he is the one who provides, and we will give thanks. Paul encourages the Corinthians by explaining that they're giving is supplying the needs of the saints in Jerusalem. That's good. Of course, we want to see people who are in need receiving what they need. And we want to see the church growing. Yes, we want to see the needs being supplied. But ultimately, the overflow is manifested in thanksgiving to God. So that church in Jerusalem was going through that famine. They were receiving help from the Corinthians and other churches. Apostle Paul is collecting this offering from many churches. And so I don't know if the Jerusalem church will now receive a description of how much each church gave. Maybe, maybe not. But that doesn't matter, because they are not just to give the glory to the churches, but to God himself and say, God, thank you for providing through them to us. And we have heard many times that we know that the Bible teaches that we were created for God's glory. Now, here you go today, this evening, a practical way in which you will accomplish the purpose for which God created you and me, by giving. When we give with joy, when we give with generosity, when we give with a genuine heart, God will be glorified by us and by those who receive the blessing. Verse 13 says, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. The offering that the Corinthians give for the need of the church in Jerusalem is a contribution that results in God's glory. The Corinthians, as this verse 13, have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had a confession. They believe that Jesus saved them. Their affections are for God and his son, Jesus, who saved them. And so he uses the word submission. They submit to God. How? By giving. Their giving for the needs of the church is a confirmation of their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there can be people who are generous, are giving offerings to the church and to the poor, and not be believers. Yeah, there is generous people who are not Christians. But for the Corinthians, there is another evidence besides giving. Another evidence of their faith in the gospel and the submission to the Lord. And it is that they seek God's glory. Not just to supply, but to seek God's glory. If you believe in the gospel of Christ, but you have not submitted yourself in this area, and the Lord maybe is steering your heart right now in that area, it's between you and God. It's you and God knows this. If you haven't submitted in this area in your life of giving, would you submit in obedience to give generously, joyfully, genuinely for God's glory? It's not me speaking, but God's word saying, would you submit to him? Verse 14 says, well, they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Observe that the giving overflows in thanksgiving for the grace of God upon the Corinthians. The church that receives the offering will praise God for the Corinthians, but recognizing that the Corinthians give because God has poured his grace over them. Let me illustrate this situation over here. It's a little blurry for us. When we celebrate Christmas with my family, my in-laws and their kids as well, and my kids, well, everybody buys a bunch of gifts, wrap them up, and usually somebody has, from another family, has a gift for me, so they give the gift to one of the kids. So there is this 4-year-old boy, nephew, coming to me with a gift in his hands. He has no idea what is inside, but his dad told him to grab the gift and give it to me. So he comes and says, "Merry Christmas," and he gives the gift to me, and I receive it and say, "Thank you so much, Miles. You are so kind." But really, everybody knows that that kid didn't pay for that gift. He didn't wrap it. He didn't take the time to think about what he is going to give to me. He just handed it and gave it to me. And I say, "Thank you, Miles." Everybody in the room knows the parents pay for that gift. And they just give the tax to the little boy to grab the gift and give it to me, hand it to me. Is that clear? In the same way, brothers and sisters, the Lord is providing to us so that we just hand out the gift. It's all of his things, all of God's stuff that we have. None of it is ours. We just are like a little 4-year-old saying, "Lord, here's my online monthly giving. Here's my envelope or my cash in the plate." Ignorant of what the Lord really is providing for us. Now, the climax, of course, is verse 15. I'll get ready. "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Oh, what is that, Paul? What are you talking about? Inexpressible gift. The whole church recognizes that everything comes from the Lord. And they will give thanks to him. But verse 15 speaks of a gift that has, indescribable, no words that can describe that gift. There are no words to describe a gift that God gave us. No words are enough to describe it. And that's why we spend so much time in the church trying to figure it out and rejoicing in it. This gift is the source of our generosity. This gift is the source of the Corinthian church generosity. It is the source of their joyful giving. It is the source of their genuine giving and their generosity. And it is the source of their thanksgiving. Oh, God modeled generosity to us by giving the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, his only son, his most precious and only son, to save us. He provided for us through Jesus Christ an abundance that will last forever. In Jesus Christ, we have an abundance that will last for the eternity. Sure, the church in Jerusalem will receive the financial gift from the churches, Gentile churches in other places, to go through the famine. But really what they were celebrating is that they receive an eternal gift that will last forever. No famine will destroy that gift. We can give for temporary needs of the church or the poor, the one in need. But the real motivation of our giving is that people may receive the eternal gift of God for them. The one that we receive. Really, when we are giving, what we want is that people will receive Jesus Christ. We'll give our money, our time, our gifts, our talents, our resources, our energy, so that other people will know Jesus and God will be glorified by them. That is our joy. Then we, with them, with those that will come, as we are this evening rejoicing, will together rejoice and worship God for the eternity. If you this evening do not know Jesus, if you do not know Jesus, don't worry about giving your money to the church or to Christian organizations. It is unnecessary. It is unnecessary for you to put that effort into presenting an offering and thinking, well, this is for God, if you do not receive first the greatest gift that God has for you. First, receive the gift of God, Jesus Christ, and then you will be able to give. We cannot experience the joy of abundant giving if we do not receive first the grace of God through Jesus Christ. He is a gift. The only thing we need to do, and we have done before, is to receive Him. A gift. He gave His life for us. The only thing we have to do is to believe in Him. And then we're saved eternally. Now, brothers and sisters, we have received the gift of God. We have received Jesus Christ by faith alone and by grace alone. It's a gift of God. Jesus Christ that died for us. Now we respond to Him in thanksgiving and say, thank you, Lord, for your greatest gift. Now we can give our money, our time, our lives generously, joyfully, and genuinely, so that there will be abundance for God's glory. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We want to live lives of thankfulness, demonstrating not just with the words of our mouths that we are thankful, but by giving, Lord, our money, our resources, not embracing the things that you have provided for us, but letting go and giving with joy, with generosity, Lord, so that you will be exalted. Help your church to glorify you, Lord. We love you. We want to live for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.